flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Top of the 5 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital, right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps, the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham alongside the DOC. Rick Doc Walker, we will take you up to 7 o'clock as we sit in for our guy Craig Hoffman. Get you geared up for Championship Sunday in the National Football League. Commanders and Eagles set to duke it out for the right to play in the Super Bowl. Joining us to discuss Championship Sunday even further is our guy Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at Dan Pizzuta. That is Dan, P-I-Z-Z-U-T-A. Dan, what's going on, my brother? Nice to meet you. Always appreciate you giving us some time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good, man. I want to start off asking you this. We were asking our callers before we brought you on this very question. Commanders and Eagles, round 3. There are some big differences in this rubber match compared to the first two meetings between these two teams. I'm going to list a couple for you. What do you think is the biggest difference here in this rubber match? John Allen didn't play in the first two meetings between these two teams. Marshawn Lattimore was nowhere near 100% in that second meeting. Washington not going to have Sam Cosmi going into this weekend. If you pick up what I'm putting down, what do you think is the biggest difference here in this Commanders-Eagles rubber match?
Yeah, I'm going to say Cosmi is, I think, going to be the biggest impact of what it is. I think it's definitely going to be helpful on the defensive side to have some of those guys back, but I think the loss of Cosmi is certainly going to be a big issue. But I think it's more kind of just in a sense of how the Commanders are going to deal with that, because if the Eagles are going to create pressure, and they're great on the edges, but I think we saw in that last game, they were scared of Jaden Daniels getting out of the pocket, so they weren't as quite as aggressive on the edge, but they were getting a lot of that interior disruption, and that's really where they're going to be strong there. So if the Eagles are going to really disrupt what Washington wants to do, it's going to come from, you know, the Jalen Carter inside without Cosmi there. I think that is a bit of an issue, but I think what we saw last week is how well this offense was able to kind of scheme around some of the heavy pressure that they thought they were going to get. It was a lot of those RPOs and a lot of those spread looks. So I think they did a fantastic job last week of figuring out how to fill in a weakness there. And then I think it is going to be the big thing this week is going to be how they continue to kind of double down on that and figure out how to get around that weakness. Because I think that is going to be something that if things go wrong on offense, that is probably going to be the one thing that Philadelphia was able to jump on.
You're familiar with Ertz. Do you have a plan, especially being a bit shorthanded at the linebacker position, to deal with him? Because he has been the go-to guy for this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they've done a really good job of being able to create some of those things over the middle, some of those, you know, RPOs where they have him on a little glance route coming over the middle. I think that is going to be something very important, especially with how spread out they've been lately, and especially against Detroit. And I think they were working, you know, you had Alex Anzalone back last week, but there were still some things you could do to Detroit in coverage. And I think that's going to be something very similar that they're able to do with Philadelphia, with N'Kobe Dean out. So with how spread they are, some of those bunch looks, and then you can have Ertz on one side as the isolated receiver, I think that can stretch Philadelphia out horizontally and put them in a very tough position to be defending over the middle of the field. So I think this could potentially be a pretty decently big Ertz game.
It's going to be interesting, man. Vic Fangio is going to have his hands full. I was curious, Dan, when looking at the splits, it was a completely different game plan called in Week 11 when these two teams matched up relative to Week 16. Week 11, he only blitzes them, what was it, 11% of the time. Week 16 is 33% of the time. Based on how well Daniels has performed against the blitz, where do you expect Fangio to fall? Because I feel like if you're Philadelphia, you got to bet your money that that talented front four that you've invested a lot in, you got to hope that they're able to get the job done. Because the moment you commit extra defenders to trying to stop this offense, that's when you get surgical.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, I think, one of the toughest questions going against this Washington offense right now is because Jaden Daniels has been so good against the blitz really all season, but especially during this playoff run. And to kind of to go back to that the Week 16 game, what I was kind of talking about is how they had some of those edges trying to contain Daniels in the pocket, trying not to let them out. And I think that puts a little bit of a damper on what the Eagles really want to do along that defensive line. So to be able to create pressure, they sent some extra rushers because the ends weren't being quite as aggressive. But again, Daniels is going to be very good at the blitz. He's so quick at knowing where to go with that, which has been such a great development, you know, from Week 1 until now. I think that's been one of his biggest strengths, of just kind of knowing where the read is, knowing where to go, being able to escape it. The past two games for him under pressure have been two of the best games we've seen, like in the playoffs over the past, I think, 5 years is, I think, something I wrote earlier this week. He's just been absolutely incredible. So whether there is a blitz or not, just the way he's been able to handle pressure and the answers that this offense has right now, I think it's just going to be very tough to beat them that way.
Yeah, you have very few flaws, but yet it doesn't seem like you're happy. This is a team that is so good, yet has not yet gelled to the way that they've satisfied themselves. So they're searching for something, which is what you want to do, trying to find it. I just wonder, will that level of frustration end up being their Achilles heel?
Yeah, it's potentially possible. I think there's still a lot of questions on both sides of the ball for these teams, where I think where you have the Commanders right now, where I think they still have definitely some things they want to work on there. I think they've been able to just kind of week by week have something bigger and better have been kind of coming into the game plan. I think they always have something new, which is been a very fun development to watch over the course of the season. And then I think when you kind of look at the other side of the ball, you gotta wonder, you know, whether they're going to be able to, you know, stop the run in the way they have. They have a lot of these defensive backs that you kind of hope are going to be able to stand up with the Eagles wide receivers for, you know, a whole 60 minutes. And that's kind of going to be the thing. Are you just going to be able to sustain long enough and be able to kind of go punch for punch? Because I think we've seen with the Eagles, even when they are down for most of the game, there's one or two explosive plays that are inevitably going to happen. You're probably not going to stop that from happening. But if you have enough counter punches where you can hang with them, I think that's how you potentially, you know, can be beating them.
I agree with you 100%, Dan. We're right now joined by Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at Dan Pizzuta. I want to ask you a little bit more about Jalen Hurts, because I continue to feel as if, not as if he's being not talked about enough, I guess, Dan, but I've been critical of him as a thrower, but I can't ignore the big-time plays he makes in the running game. If you are Washington, should the game plan be, hey, make him beat you? But also, I know it's easier said than done, right, Dan? You got to make him beat you. You got to earn the right, rather, to make him beat you by stopping Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I think that's going to be how Washington goes about it, is when you can kind of sit back and have Barkley be that, you know, number one priority that you are trying to stop, especially, you know, with Hurts coming off of that concussion. He has not looked great over these past two games throwing the ball. There has been something just a little off. I don't know if it's lingering effects from the concussion or if it's rust or just, you know, he just hasn't been playing well. I think you kind of saw these past two games, especially against the Rams. They were able to get him with some of these sim pressures and some of these blitzes where he is just not quickly processing what needs to happen. So I think if you can stop Barkley from beating you in a consistent sense, and even going back to that week, you know, 16 game where Barkley rushed for 150 yards, and this is kind of one of the tough things with the Eagles, right? They had their second best success rate against the run was Washington's defense in that game. Yeah. But because Barkley was able to crack off a 68-yard run, it made his numbers look very good. So, again, that is probably something that is going to happen. The way that you can kind of take that down from being the biggest play of the game to something that is just kind of allows you to hang on and stop that from being the biggest impact play of the game is, I think, something that Washington is going to have to worry about. So I think trying to stop Barkley, not necessarily by loading the box, but just having those sound run defense, being gap disciplined, and being all that, and having trying to stop Barkley, it should be the number one option.
Hmm. You know, there's been not pressure. Y'all have dealt with pressure well, but history doesn't favor you. And I wonder, do you sense any of that, or is that just people long in the tooth? Because there's been way more disappointment during this time of the year in South Philadelphia than there has been joy.
Oh, well, Dan, you got to agree, right? All the pressure is on Philadelphia in this one, right? It's got to be.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that's kind of how Washington has been playing all year, right? Or especially this last part where they really don't have a lot to lose. This is way more than anyone expected there. So, yes, I think there is certainly a lot of pressure on Philadelphia because they're supposed to be here. They are the team that has been built and, you know, one of the better teams over this entire stretch of the season. So, yeah, for them, I would say just in terms of living up to expectations, there's definitely more pressure on Philadelphia here. But I think Washington being able to play looser and being able to, you know, take some risks in the way they, you know, will go for it on fourth downs, the way they've been a little more aggressive in some of their play calling in general, that has definitely been to Washington's that has been to their advantage, I think, throughout this whole playoff run. And I would kind of expect that to be the same case again on Sunday.
In this matchup, I'm going to go off the field here for a second because I look at the architects of both of these two football teams. That handsome devil we have, Adam Peters, has come in here and taken the entire National Football League by storm. But I like to call him Big Game Howie up in Philadelphia. Dan, when you look at some of the moves that Philadelphia has made over the past couple of years, Nolan Smith, people were panicking last year because he didn't get off to a great start. He had two sacks in that wild card game against Green Bay, them getting the production they've gotten out of Zach Bond, who hadn't really played this linebacker position in this style in a little while. It's been really impressive to see the two rookies that they were able to bring in. Put this game to the side for a second. When we look ahead in the offseason and for years to come, will Peters and Roseman be viewed as kind of the gold standard here in terms of team building?
Yeah, I think certainly I would say Howie definitely is at this point. I'll be very interested to see how Adam Peters does build off of this. And I think one of the really interesting things about Howie and how he has built up this type of team that he's had that has had success over these past couple of years is they're not really afraid to back off from mistakes. Even if it is costly, I think they will continue to throw resources at a problem kind of until it fixes it, and they're not going to hang on to something that doesn't work just because it is, you know, something they had invested heavily in before. And then that allows them to also take some take some of these, you know, flyer swings, like turning a McCadetin from a tackle to a guard, someone that size, just being like, we're going to trust Jeff Stoutland, our offensive line coach, to turn this guy into a useful player, and he has. You can have a Saquon Barkley because you have this offensive line here. You can continue throwing things at the edge rusher position, but also Bryce Huff is a guy that they threw a whole bunch of money at, and he was not great this season, but they still threw so many resources at those important positions. They still have one of the best pass rushes in the league. So it is just one of those things where they are going to continue to throw resources and spend wisely at positions that really have a high impact. And that is how he has continued to really build a roster that has been, you know, one of the best, not only just at the high level, but also with depth that they've had. And I will be very interested to see some of the lessons people around the league learn from that. I'll be very interested to see, what Adam Peters does as a follow-up, because he was really just kind of plugging holes this offseason. He didn't make a lot of splash plays, just got some guys who were decent at their positions. I think they were all put in a very good spot. So how they continue to build on that, and I think that that's also a key. You just don't want to have any glaring weaknesses, which I think is what they did very good for Washington this offseason. So I'm very interested to see how, you know, win or lose this weekend, how they're going to build on that with the second offseason, some slightly higher expectations to bring in some higher level talent. But yeah, everything they've put together this year has worked, and it's been really fun to watch.
You can't say expectations without mentioning the Kansas City Chiefs. And even though their quarterback may not win every award possible this year, he may win the ultimate, and that is an unprecedented three-peat. What do you see in the Buffalo-Kansas City matchup?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very fun and close game, I would imagine. The Chiefs are just kind of one of these teams where, to try to stay away from cliches, but when these games matter, they have their best stuff, and they are a very good game planning team. Mahomes is just kind of able to do just enough sometimes, especially on these scrambles. If it's a 3rd and 8, he'll be able to figure out how to get 9 yards. And that's just kind of what these Chiefs have been, kind of why they're very frustrating to play from an opposing team's point of view. So I think they started to unleash Travis Kelce a little bit, allow him to be a little more loose and more aggressive with what they were doing with him while saving him during the regular season. I think they've kind of figured out some, Xavier Worthy plays. So I think there's a lot that is going to be opened up in this Chiefs offense that we've kind of seen. The Bills don't have the same type of pass rush on the edge that we saw kind of bother the Chiefs last week with Houston. So I think that won't be quite as big of a trouble. But I think the Bills right now, I think they have the best offense that they've had to be able to counter what the Chiefs do, because it is so successful. This Bills team has wanted to run the ball for a while. They haven't been able to do it. Now they have one of the most successful down-to-down run games in the league, where Josh Allen does not have to go into hero mode every play like he has in previous postseasons, but he still can do that. So I'm going to expect both of these teams try to not put so much on their quarterbacks' shoulders to start the game, but I think by the end of the fourth quarter, if this is going to be a close game, we're going to see a lot of fun quarterbacking in this game.
I like the way you put it with Buffalo finally having enough offensively to counter what Kansas City does. They can slow it down. They can bleed clock running the football with James Cook and Josh Allen and Ty Johnson. It's been really fun to watch that group this year. Dan, I'm going to ask you to put it all on the line, my brother. The entire DMV is listening. Who do you got Sunday between Washington and Philadelphia?
You know what? It'll be close. I was leaning Washington last week, and I was scared to say it out loud. But I'll lean into it this week. I'm gonna give Washington the edge here.
Wow.
I think just what they're doing on offense right now, I think is going to be very tough to match up with. I think they have some answers. I'm a little concerned about what the Philadelphia passing game is going to look like, and if Washington, I did say this last week, even though I didn't pick Washington straight out, but if you can keep it close enough where it becomes a bit of a shootout and it becomes into an offensive battle, I give Washington the edge there, and I think that might potentially be the type of game that plays out on Sunday too.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out there. We appreciate you giving us some time, as always, my friend.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you, guys.
That is Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team, DOC, picking Washington to make it to the Super Bowl. Boy, wouldn't that be a hell of a feeling. He's not alone. I know he's not. I'll be real with you. You know, I believe this thing. I love this group as much as an X-Man does. The last couple of weeks, this entire playoff run has been the craziest thing for me in to know that we're 60 minutes away from taking it to the big dance is an absolute surreal feeling. And I just hope that come Sunday, the high continues, man, because it's been a roller coaster of a season for the Washington Commanders, just 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the big dance. About an hour and a half left to go right here on the Hoffman Show. Lynnell Willingham, the DOC, Rick Doc Walker sitting in for Craig as we take you up to 7 o'clock. Kevin Sheehan going to join us top of the 6 o'clock hour. When we come back, though, Sam Cosmi not going to be in the lineup this weekend. He tore his ACL last weekend against Detroit. The head coach of the Commanders, Dan Quinn, with a little bit of insight as to how Washington will replace Cosmi on Sunday. We'll let you hear from DQ next here on the Team 980.